it is time for Arts Live and Local on this beautiful, wet, windy day here in the Pacific Columbia region. Well, on this beautiful weekend, don't let it scare you off getting out because there is lots going on. But we're also preparing, or I should say, and we're also preparing for Thursday, American Thanksgiving. Canadians celebrate it in early October. And I have a song for you. And I have a thanks to all of you. And wanted to make sure you listen in on December 2nd and give us your support. Here's Bob Franke. Enjoy.
Well, this one's a song that some of you won't know. Made up this song on the night before Thanksgiving, sometime around 1979. I was due to go to a party the next day, and the rule was you brought along a dish or a song. I could make a pretty good chili. I could make a pretty good fried rice. But neither of those seemed quite as appropriate as this song for that party. So I brought, actually, the first two verses of this song. I thought it was finished at that time. I brought those verses and the chorus to the party, and people liked it, and the song got around. Then in 1990, my brother-in-law at the time, Charles Guy Whiteside, died of AIDS in New York City. And a few days after his memorial service, the third verse of Thanksgiving Eve came to me, just like it had been a gift from him. If he'd survived, he would have been on Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, actually. He would have, yeah. He would have been the gardening guy, you know. He would have been the gardening guy. Wonderful man. If you know the chorus of this song, just please sing along. It's so easy to dream of the days gone by. It's a hard thing to think of the times to come. But the grace to accept every moment as a gift is a gift that is given to some. What can you do with your days but work and hope? Let your dreams bind your work to your play. What can you do with each moment of your life but love till you've loved it away? Love till you've loved it away. There are sorrows enough for the whole world's end. There are no guarantees but the grave. But the lives that we live and the time that we spend are a treasure too precious to save. What can you do with your days but work and hope? Let your dreams bind your work to your play. What can you do with each moment of your life but love till you've loved it away? Love till you've loved it away. As it was, so it is. As it is, shall it be. And it shall be, while lips that kiss have breath. Many waters indeed only nurture love's seed, and its flower overshadows the power of death. What can you do with your days but work and hope? Let your dreams bind your work to your play. What can you do each moment of your life, but love till you've loved it away. Love till you've loved it away. What can you do with your days but work and hope? Let your dreams bind your world to your place. What can you do with each moment of your life but love till you've loved it away? Love till you've loved it away.
Thank you, Bob Franke, and we do have lots to give thanks for in this country, too. We finally started. We're not there yet, but we've started the process of a little bit of fairness and smartness. Because everyone in this room, including me, is at some point in our family's history an immigrant to this country, I think I can safely say. And so welcome to those who no longer have to live in fear. Well, this show that's coming up at the Coaster Theater, I'm not sure. Maybe there is a little bit of fear in it. I don't know. It's Disney's Beauty and the Beast. And I know the story Beauty and the Beast has some trepidation. I don't know whether Disney's form does. But I have three guests here who are going to tell you all about it. And all three of them have played many roles at the Coaster Theater. As a matter of fact, the director, and this is her directorial debut. I don't think I've ever said that word before. And that would be Lisa Fergus. And I thought, oh, a new person. And then she walked in and I went, oh, you, I know you. Because Lisa's been in many, many plays at the Coaster. And you're also a choreographer, is that right?
I am, uh-huh.
So have you choreographed as much as done theater? I mean, is this all?
No, I definitely started performing on stage first, and then with my dance history was able to step in as choreographer last minute in a couple of shows when we needed some things done, and finally earned the opportunity to have my own shows to choreograph, and then that led to my own show to direct.
Okay, now I have two questions going back to that. When did you first start acting, at the Coaster or in general?
I did my first musical in high school. My first stage performance was in dance when I was 3.
All right. That was my next question. And did you study dance?
Or I did. I studied at Maddox here in Clatsop County.
Oh, you are a local
I
girl.
Am.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Oh, how fun. So I don't know whether you'll even get to Nutcracker because you're in Beauty and the Beast.
Exactly. But I was in it several
times.
You
have been. Okay. And so that is Lisa Fergus. And now your first time directing. How did that come about?
I was asked if I would be interested in directing a small show during fall of 2013. Uh-huh. And I said I would be more than happy to get my feet wet mm-hmm. with a light show. Mm-hmm. And then I think it was late January, I got a phone call and he said, well, how about Beauty and the Beast?
Small, nice small show.
Right, right. Sure. And I said, sure, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Wow, fantastic. So, how many folks are in the show?
Over 30.
Ah, and what would be considered large?
Over 30.
Okay, well, that's terrific. Let me introduce my other guests. Ryan Hull is here, and Ryan has directed, and as a matter of fact, I was just told that Ryan directed Lisa in what was that?
That would be Into the Woods that we performed this summer at
recently,
the Coaster Theater.
Right.
Yep, yep. And she was my Cinderella. Yes.
Oh, sweet. And now Lisa is directing Ryan, and you are playing?
I'm playing Gaston.
Okay, we're going to get the story here. Someone's going to give us the story, so because I don't think I know not all of us know all the names of the characters. We kind of know the story, but not the...
Well, if you were looking for any fear and trepidation in Disney's Beauty and the Beast, it would mainly come from me. So, yes, if you're looking forward to that, then look no further than myself.
But you look like such a nice man.
Well, that's why we put on the makeup and the costume, and yes.
I see. So what is Gaston, a human being?
Gaston is a human being, yes. Okay. He is in the village that everyone lives in. He is the local hunter, overall seer and purveyor of all things, you know, good and right. And also has many of his trophies fashioned at the local tavern that he has decorated. So yes, that's pretty much Gaston. And when he sets his sights on something, he gets it.
I see. Yes. I see. We don't want to mess with you.
Well,
okay. Yeah. And you have been here before, and I remembered the story about your acting background, and your whole background is on the East Coast, though you did a lot of work.
Well, you know, I grew up actually here in Gladstone, Oregon, and did some things here, and went to Clackamas Community College in some of my education. Worked under a couple of local people here, Jack Shields and Marilyn Taylor.
Yeah.
So I got a vast knowledge and experience there. Then I did go on and go over to the East Coast, graduated with a theater degree.
I thought you were going to say the dark side.
The dark side.
I went over to the...
And got a theater degree at Rollins College in Winter Park, Florida, and then went up to New York and trained at Circle on the Square Theater School that's on Broadway.
Right.
So, yeah.
Pretty exciting. And now you came back here.
And now I came back home.
Yeah.
They say you can't come home again, but they're
oh,
wrong.
They love you back here. Yeah, and that makes the whole family right there at the Coaster Theater.
You bet.
Ryan's brother is also active in the theater. And then I have Jenny Tronier, who is the person who communicates most, with me at least. I don't know about in the show, but Jenny is the formidable title of Marketing and Operations Director. How long have you been at the theater?
Since June of 2013.
So
about a year and a half.
Yeah. And you came from?
Well, Ryan happens to be my husband, so I kind of followed him.
Well, would you look at that? What a coincidence.
And we met at Circle in the Square in New York City.
Yeah.
What were you doing there?
I was going to school. We met in the same acting program. And,
okay.
Yeah.
And so that's what I meant about everybody here has... you haven't directed, though, have you?
Not at the Coaster Theater.
Not yet.
Not yet. But...
Okay. But Jenny has been seen on stage, but in this case, she takes care of and does a good job about getting the word out and what's going on. So this play is running all the way through December 28th.
That's yes, it is.
Nice long line. Do you have just a single cast for this? Or
we do.
Mm-hmm. Wow, you've got some very loyal folks in the Cannon Beach area. Are all the folks regulars, or did you bring in some new people? Or?
No, we actually have several people who not only is this their first Coaster production, but it's their first production at all.
Wow. Are they young people?
No.
Oh, my. How did you do? What did you do? What was the bait?
I think our marketing director sent the audition plugs to the right places,
okay.
And it got to the right people.
Well, that's very exciting. It's always exciting to broaden the... Lisa, how's it been?
It's been great.
Yeah.
Yeah, phenomenal experience.
Are you hooked?
Very much so. Mm-hmm.
So do you know at this point, do you still really enjoy acting, though? Or?
Yes, it's a different... Ryan and I were just discussing this in the lobby. It's a different experience, and it's a different feeling of accomplishment. But... I miss the applause being for me.
Now, you're sounding a little bit like Gaston there. Hold on now.
So, yes, I will definitely be on stage again, but okay. I hope to direct again as well.
You know what's funny is, what's not funny is that we lost the wonderful Mike Nichols. We didn't lose him, but he did die. And it sounds as though it was sudden, although he was in his 80s. But Terry Gross played an interview, and an old interview, and he was talking about having... Elaine May and Mike Nichols, that whole spiel, and then going into directing. And he said he really preferred directing because and he talked about also the difference, but one was you got out there and you just hoped you were doing the great job because that applause was directly for you or not. Whereas when you're the director, you're voting for everyone else, and you can split the difference if they, it's not completely your responsibility. But they do have different parts. I like the idea that the coaster is not only bringing in new people for the stage, but also creating new directors right here out of the gene pool that's already acting. So somebody tell us about this production. We already learned who Gaston is, although, except for the fact that he's a hunter, he didn't sound like too bad a guy. Oh, and maybe a little bit bossy.
Possibly a little bit bossy, yes. I do have my second in command, not really command, but my lackey boy, LeFou, who is with me at every turn. For example, to start the show, I'm hunting, as I want to do, and LeFou has got the job of catching my birds as they fall down dead. So that's really, you know, a lot of the things
I thought a dog usually does.
Well, could, but LeFou, you know, he does a very good job. I don't know, I might go to switch to dog. That's a good idea, yeah. Caroline. I might try that, yes.
Don't look at mine. He's not a hunter.
He liked me an awful lot when we came in, all right.
Okay, and then just kind of give us the overview of the way this story Lisa, you want to?
Sure. The story opens with Belle letting the audience know that she's not very comfortable in the role that she's been assigned as a stereotypical woman in what we call French provincial. She has been selected by Gaston as the girl that he is going to marry, which all of the other girls in town wanted the spot, and the one that didn't want it was the one that got picked.
Ain't that the way?
Well, she's the most beautiful girl in town. Yes. Don't I deserve the best? Yes.
So
no comment. Go on. You've got the best.
That is true. That is true. Yes.
You got to be careful here, folks.
In real life, I'm a lucky. Yes.
So Belle's eccentric inventor father is on his way to the fair to present an invention, and on the way gets lost and finds shelter in a castle. Well, it turns out it's the Beast's castle, and the Beast does not take kindly to visitors, so he is imprisoned, and Belle goes to rescue him. And she compromises and chooses to stay in the castle forever while letting her dad go.
Because she really, sorry, Gaston, but it sounds like she got away from you at the same time. I don't know.
We'll see.
Well, is there music in this?
Yes, it is a musical.
It is a musical. Okay. I should think so with it's being Disney's. Now, why is it a play that came from a movie? Is that how it gets?
Yes. So it's based on the Academy Award-winning animated film Beauty and the Beast by Disney. And then they took the basis of that and turned it into a Broadway musical, added a lot of new songs as well to that storyline, and just created a really charming, wonderful, family-friendly musical.
That was going to be a question, but of course, at this time of year, it should be family-friendly. So
yeah, and a lot of the characters from the animated film are there, Belle, Beast, Gaston, LeFou, but you also have the enchanted objects, the candlestick, Lumiere, the clock, Cogsworth, the feather duster, Babette.
Oh, lovely.
Mrs. Potts and Chip. So it's just a really charming, wonderful show.
Okay. It already opened. It is running.
Yes.
And it runs, as I said, through the 28th of December. So you have time to see it, but don't put it off too long because we know how those things happen. It's every Friday and Saturday night at 7:30. And then Sunday at 3 on November 30th and December 7th and the 28th.
And I believe, yes, I think.
Okay.
Maybe the 21st as well.
Okay.
I think we have
I didn't have that, but we'll watch. We'll keep watch on that. So, and you can always call the theater at 503-436. Tickets are at 1242. That's 436-1242. Get yourself tickets so you can choose your seats, because these are assigned seats. I've got my favorites at the Coaster. And what's the website? Remind me.
It is coastertheater.com, and theater is spelled T-H-E-A-T-R-E.
It's the R-E.
Yes.
Oh, it goes with tonier.
It does.
Théâtre. Okay, very good. There are other things going on at the Coaster right in the middle of all of this as well. Tell us about the auditions.
We have the first auditions for our 2015 season coming up on December 1st and 2nd for Night Mother, which is our February show.
I saw that on Broadway.
It's a great show. Small cast,
very
mother
powerful.
And daughter. Yes, yeah. Very powerful show. Yeah. And then we also have auditions on those same days for our spring show, which runs mid-March to mid-April for Murder on the Nile.
Mm-hmm. Is that a...
By Agatha Christie, yes.
Yeah, that sounded like her kind of thing. And then you have a winter solstice concert with Catherine Clare on December 14th. Now, you know what I did write down here? In addition to the Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30, there's also a Thursday on December 11th. Is that a talkback?
That is talkback.
Okay, always a good time. And to make things more complicated, I'm not sure why, but, oh, maybe it has to do with Christmas. On the 26th, the Friday the 26th, it's not happening.
We do not have a performance on the 26th.
So it'll be Saturday and Sunday to finish out the weekend. So
decided to give our cast a little bit more time with their families over the holiday.
That was very kind of you. My goodness. mind you, these are all volunteered actors, so it's good to stretch out that way. Okay. Thank you to my guest. That was Jenny Tronier, who is the Marketing and Operations Director. Lisa Fergus with her debut directorial role here, but you'll be back in the acting and the dancing. And Ryan Hull, the bad guy. Oh, did I say that?
Or you could have just said Jenny Lynn's husband. I mean, you know, really.
There you go. And Ryan is playing Gaston in this show, and we'll see him in the director's role as well, I'm sure. Thank you so much for coming in, and have a safe drive through the windy, rainy coast, and I look forward to seeing the play, Disney's Beauty and the Beast.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us, and happy birthday here coming up here, I hear tell.
Yeah. Oh, my God. How do you know?
Well, you know, little birdies here tell
Holy
me things.
Cow. Yes. I don't even know
the ones
this.
I don't shoot, that's- of course, yes.
We're going to have to talk about that. You know? I mean, let's, you know, we have, thank you so much.
You are welcome.
Okay. I've got some music lined up for you right here on KMUN, 91.9 KTCB, 89.5 coastradio.org, your community radio station. And this is from my next guest. The name of the band is Parallel Lines, and they have their debut performance tonight. Have a listen. Stay tuned. Thanks.
Falling in the failing light of kingdoms divine, a whisper in the
I'm enjoying the music so much, I don't want to turn it off, but I do want you to meet the musicians. And so I will tell you, this is from the music that will be played tonight. The band is Parallel Lines, fronted by my guest, Derek Moore. And this is a demo that I was playing. I have two guests here, and the other is Jordan Okanowski, who will be... You got a lot of stuff to do tonight, too, don't you?
I do, yeah. I'm playing
keys,
a lot of things in that.
And guitar and backup. I've known these guys for a while, but I didn't know they played all these things, so it's kind of exciting. It's at Gala, which is 1017 Marine Drive, between 10th and 11th. And it's a wonderful venue. And I'm understanding that the music is going to start at 9, but the doors open at 8. And it's a lovely place to hang out. There's art on the walls, so you have something to be involved with and get yourself some good seats for the show. Parallel Lines. Well, first of all, congratulations.
Thank
this
you.
This is great. Derek, I've only heard play solo. I've heard you on piano and guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And but you have a history, don't you?
Yeah. Ever since I was 15, I started on the drums, actually. And I played in a band for 10 years as the drummer and singer. And that's actually the last band. I've played in a couple of bands that was sort of, we kind of spanned through college, and I had another band in college. But then that was the last band I've played with since these guys. I've been either solo or doing a duo with my brother in the years in between. And so I'm really excited to play with the band again, because it's kind of where my passion is.
Yeah, yeah. So, and for that matter, you were quiet for a while too around here. And then you got drug into the play Hitchin'. And hitched up with people like Jordan.
That's where we met.
That's where you met. Yep. Yeah, that was a benefit for the Performing Arts Center. It was the Ned Heavenrich's and the Brownsmead Flats. And Derek surprised everybody with this beautiful voice. And I don't know whether we just kind of said, that's it, you got to keep playing. But I remember at the cast party, we made you stay at the piano for hours and hours while you played and we sang. And
that kind of most parties with them turn into that. My birthday party, we got him to go do Piano Man. We all sing along.
That
kind of sums up my entire college career. I think I played every campfire and every party that there was.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, it's very, very exciting. So how does one go about putting together a band when you've been doing solo for so long?
A million different ways. In this instance, I had all the music. I've got the songs ready for a recording, and I want to do the album. And actually, we're going to start recording next month.
Okay.
But I wanted to do it with a band and not just on my own or hiring musicians. So I put an ad on Craigslist, and I found a drummer from that. And actually, strangely enough, he lives about three blocks from me, even though I was looking as far afield as Portland.
Oh, that's funny. That's great.
And then the bass player is my neighbor, Brandon, who I knew he was a musician, but he was in a different style of music. He played more like punk rock and stuff, so I didn't think he'd be really interested. And he said, oh, yeah, music's music.
Great.
And then I've known Jordan for almost 2 years. So
he came up to me and said he needed a piano player, and I told him I didn't really play piano at all.
But I'll work on it.
Yeah, well, yeah. He's like, well, you do now. And so that's kind of
I've heard him play, and I'm like, I'm writing these pieces, and you're just as good as me. So
well, that's the thing, though. It just depends, sort of like not wanting to speak a foreign language because you figure the other people speak your language better.
Yeah.
And everybody's thinking the same thing, you know.
Right.
So nobody
That's
wants
right.
to do it, but in this case it's terrific. So what will you be playing in the band?
Rhythm guitar, lead guitar, which I don't do it. I have maybe three or four leads, but and then singing.
Mm-hmm. So if you aren't doing lead guitar, who is? Or is that when
it's
the piano
me, yeah.
is?
Yeah. So the piano and the guitar, the piano and the lead guitar sort of go back and forth as the kind of melodic stuff behind the background. The rhythm section would be the drums, the bass, and the rhythm guitar. So I'm kind of sliding in between those two.
And so we have Brandon on bass, Brandon Bowers, is that right? And Mike Morrow on drums. So this is an all Astoria band.
It is.
Who
it's
knew?
Great. Yeah.
That's terrific. Yeah, it makes it a lot easier for practice as well.
Yeah.
So where does the music come from? Where do the songs?
They've all, outside of two, which I wrote a long time ago and then I reworked, the other nine have been written in the last year and a half. And they came out of personal experience, most of it difficult, challenging stuff that kind of pushed me into a place of needing to get it out. And it came out in song form. And I've written songs over the last 30 years, many of them, but never with the same kind of gumption or the same kind of depth. And I think it was because I was just trying to do it in my head. I wasn't just letting it come out.
Mm-hmm. This is very exciting, Derek. Yeah, and lucky for us, good for all of us, because, of course, we're going to get to know you a lot better, too, if we can understand the word. Now, that song was beautiful.
Thank you.
Lovely. Is the music going to be really loud?
Some of it will, yes.
It's rock and roll.
It's kind of probably 60-40. 60% is probably going to be upbeat, loud.
It's a good
not blow your ears loud at all. Mm-hmm. Just fun. Move your body loud. You can dance to it.
But will we understand the words, I guess, is what I'm wondering.
I hope so, because the sound system's really good there.
We
played last night there to practice, and the sound was fantastic. And that was without the microphones and everything.
Oh, my. Yeah.
So
I kind of like that.
Yeah. And then the 40% is a little bit softer. I play some acoustic stuff, and the guys doing the backup stuff, you know, it's like some drones and the drums, like with mallets. And it's going to be atmospheric. It'll be up and down, but I think the diversity is feels about right.
So again, let me just remind you, this is tonight at Cala. That's or Gala at 1017 Marine. That's the Gala means fish in Finnish. So that is the offices of Hipfish, Dinah Urell, and Hipfish. So Parallel Lines. Any reason for the name?
A bunch of reasons. Well, at first, it just came to me.
Mm-hmm.
I was staring at a ceiling, and I saw the two lines going down, and it popped into my head. But it also has a lot of meaning for me personally. The number 11 has meaning, and 2 times 11, which is 22, which is kind of numerologically me. And there's a bunch of others I don't need to go into, but it did have a lot of meaning beyond that. And I just like the way it rolls off the tongue, too.
It does. It has a good feel, too. With a lot of L's, too, which is nice.
Bill Ham thought too many L's.
Yeah.
Bill Ham. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well.
Far too many L's.
I can just hear him saying that, too.
But the L's are also the parallel lines, so, it all works together.
It works together. And so, Jordan, you're going to be doing backup vocals?
Yeah, and lead vocals on a song, too.
That's right.
Yeah. Very exciting.
Yeah.
And so you've had to learn Derek's songs.
Mm-hmm.
How is that? Because he just told us he's written them from a place deep inside and about his own life. And
they're
how does
very
that...
personal to him. It's very interesting. I don't know. It's interesting to see kind of from a perspective outside of your own a lot. It was definitely easier for me as a developing piano player to kind of pick up what he's composed and things like that. And he's got a great ear for structure, song structure, kind of, the songs are constantly changing. They're constantly moving, which I really enjoy about them. So it's been really good for me, honestly.
So what's your background with music? I've known you since you were in high school, but I don't think I knew.
Yeah, I've played off and on. I've always been kind of for a while now, I've been kind of more of a private player, but I've played guitar for several years and harmonica and a little bit of piano and a lot of everything, but I've always just kind of gotten to a point where I've started to plateau and moved on to the next instrument. So this has been good to just focus on something for a while.
Is this your first time in a band?
No, I was in a band in college. I was just a singer. They just it was
just
all just singing. Yeah, all the all the people in it were just incredible instrumentalists, but they were just playing so intensely, none of them could sing. So they kind of hired me as a
good
David Lee Roth of sorts.
But, well, I think it's very, very exciting. I don't know the other two gentlemen, but I'm thrilled that you guys have come together, and Derek, that you're part of your dream is coming true right here.
It is, and actually, this is the world premiere of we've never played live before. Just came together, so this is the very first concert we've ever played, and it just for me has a real air of excitement because it is sort of like bringing it finally coming to fruition.
So, but you won't have music for sale tonight, but people will be able to find out. You will have something coming out.
We're supposed to start recording next month, and I would hope that we would have a release in the spring.
Great. Yeah. Okay. Well, congratulations. I won't tell you to break your legs. That's for the theater people only, but have a wonderful show. Again, tonight at Gala 1017 Marine Drive. It's on the south side between 10th and 11th, and it's doors open at 8. The show is at 9 o'clock. Parallel Lines, indie rock band debut. Woo! Okay.
Thanks
so much for being here.
Thank you very much,
Carol. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And it is very exciting when you've seen people for years and new things develop. So, great. I've got a piece of music lined up now, and this is a brand new album that came in the mail, but it's from someone I met years ago at Red Hair, so thank you, Scott. And I've played her music before, an earlier album, but this is her 2014 release, Robin Landis, and the name of the song, Thanksgiving.
That this bounty's
torn from me.
That is Robin Landis with a beautiful brand new song, Thanksgiving. And I'll be doing the show on Tuesday morning, my folk show, and I'll let you hear the rest of that song and maybe something else from her brand new album. It's very exciting. So, what is coming up? What happens every year, actually all over the country, but here as well? At this time of year, it is the Nutcracker, of course. And yes, and I have two wonderful young women here who are part of the Nutcracker. I'm going to let them tell you probably everything about what's going on. I have Bailey Nearing. And Bailey, what part are you playing?
This year I am the bear and Chinese, also a royal court.
Oh, so you get to wear lots of different costumes?
I get to wear lots of different costumes. It's very exciting.
Does someone help you change costumes?
Yes, we have a very great backstage crew that helps us in dressing room. And as well as quick changes, we have people backstage helping us get dressed.
Whip off and whip on.
Whip off and whip on.
There you go.
Fast.
And Allie Berger. Hi, Allie.
Hi.
And I love my little notes here. That's very cute. And what are you doing this year?
This year, I am the mechanical doll. I'm a snowflake. I'm a Spanish, and I'm a flower.
Holy moly. Wow. Now, let me ask, how old are you girls?
We're both 15.
15, yeah. And what, about sophomores?
Yeah, we're sophomores.
Okay. How long have you been doing the Nutcracker?
Oh, goodness. Since we were seven.
Yeah.
Because you're able to audition when you're seven, so we started as soon as we could.
Okay. Well, what about those little tiny ones that I've seen in Nutcracker? Is seven the minimum?
Seven is the minimum.
Okay.
Well, sometimes if Miss Peterson feels that a dancer is mature enough to be a part of this, then she will ask them to maybe be a grandchild or a sled girl.
Okay. My neighbor, who's now 30, started off in the Nutcracker when she was a little tiny thing. And as a matter of fact, I think you know her father, Dr. Drussel.
Dan!
Yeah,
we know him.
Yes, I thought you might. Yes. That's how Dan Sutherland started doing the Nutcracker, because his daughter was in it, and it's all the way from Brownsmead. You know, he's going to have to drive her in anyway. And he got hooked. She went on in life, and he's still doing Nutcracker. Although my third guest here, he's the kind of the silent partner, is Dan Foss. And Dan is a parent. He's also a teacher in this town at Astoria High School. And weren't you Dr. D last year?
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to have that part last year. It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. Okay, well, it's nice to know you can do it. That cape looks like fun.
Oh, my goodness. That was great. That was a lot of fun. Thank you.
That's great. So, the Nutcracker, I understand, has been going for 40 years.
Yeah, this year's our 40th anniversary.
Yeah. Well, that is wonderful for you two to be part of this tradition.
It's really exciting.
And you have a live symphony orchestra.
Yeah, it's a 55-piece live orchestra. And we also have a choir for the snow scene, and that is involved with 12 people.
Huh. I know. Do you know who the choir is? Are they local people, you think, or
just local singers? But they're all adults, and it's part of the background music, and just really adds to the whole scene. It's very nice.
Yeah. Well, we should mention this is going on at Astoria High School in the auditorium. I almost said gymnasium. That would be a mistake. In the auditorium, and it's a huge stage. What are we doing this year for the Christmas tree? How does that work? Does it go up and down, or does it?
Before the fight scene, we lift it so it grows as if Clara has shrunk.
Smaller.
So she's the same size as everything else for the fight scene, and then so on and so forth.
Okay.
So somebody pulls the tree.
Yeah,
up.
We pull it while we get ready for the fight
scene. I love
scene.
That part. I love watching this thing grow. Now that you mention it, of course, because she certainly isn't. It's not like in the movies.
She doesn't shrink.
No, she doesn't shrink.
No.
It's a good thing, too. Do you have guest dancers coming in for?
We do.
They're the same people as last year from Ballet
before.
Idaho.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. The same two?
Same too.
Young man and woman? Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how many, any idea how many dancers you have involved in this production?
We have about 140-ish dancers, and then plus adults that help, and then...
And the parents, and all the little boys that come and join mm-hmm. to help us.
This plus everyone that just contributes in general.
Right.
So it's around 200-something.
This is a huge, huge production.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
huge production. But it is, or I should say, and it is delightful. So when you change roles each year, do you have to, I mean, what if you don't fit in the costume? Do they...
Usually we auditions based on your size, so you have to be able to fit the costume. But we have such a good costume maker.
Mm.
And so this year we had the opportunity to be able to order new costumes, and we made new costumes for the reed flutes this year. So that should be really exciting.
Beautiful, mm-hmm. yeah. And tell me, you've been dancing since you're 7, or you've been in this
and
since
just
you're
the
7.
Nutcracker.
Since the Nutcracker,
we
since
danced
you're 7.
Far before that.
Really? When did
yeah.
you start dancing?
I started dancing when I was about 2. Yeah.
Wait, you didn't start taking classes, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have creative movement where we just learn how to connect our mind to our bodies and begin
kind
to
of
dance.
Start to listen to the music. And
perfect.
But we didn't start recitals probably until we were like 5 or 4.
Mm-hmm. My first one was when I was 3.
So tell me, what now, was it just that your parents thought this would be good for you? Is that how it started? Or did you see something, see a ballet and say, I want to be like that? Or what?
No, my grandma would used to, like, turn on music when she watched me, and then she just, like, watched me, and she's like, she needs to be enrolled in dance. And so I got enrolled
her.
And danced. And
great. How about you, sense. Bailey?
I started dancing because my mom thought it would help me become not a shy little girl, and I'm obviously not anymore.
I was gonna
not at all.
I was going to say, good for your mom. It worked because
it
would never have occurred to me.
And I remember my mom says I could dance better than I could walk when I was younger.
Oh, great.
So.
Well, for full disclosure, I am with you. Now, I'm 55 years older than you, however. I started ballet when I was 5. And we didn't do things like this, though. Back in those days, we just wore black leotards and black ballet slippers, no tights, no costumes, mm-hmm. no recitals even in Brooklyn, New York. Mm-hmm. When I moved out here, I was totally blown away. But it is pretty exciting to be able to get up there on stage and work with so many other people. Do you find that it has, what you were just talking about, being shy and becoming less shy, how has that worked?
It's definitely helped. It boosts your self-confidence as a person and as a dancer. And it just, I don't know how to explain it. It's just kind of
it allows people to express their feelings without having to say them and having your emotions come out through this beautiful art. And the people at Maddox Dance Studio, all the teachers are so genuine and they're very nice. And they care about all of us individually, even if we've seen them once and we don't have them as a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
They know our names. So they mm-hmm. teach us like family. And our entire studio is just a big family.
Beautiful.
And we've all helped each other grow in confidence. Mm-hmm. And we all helped each other be able to come out and say how we feel and say, like, we're all just a really big family, so that helps people, and it helps people out in, like, school because they know that they can come back to dance after school, and they know they have the big family there, so no matter if they have a bad day at school, we're mm-hmm. always there for them.
Wow, very articulate, very good. Yeah, yeah, I can see where that, we're going to put that out there for families who are listening to this right now. I hope you heard what Bailey said and Allie said, and think about dance. It also, I think, does something for your physicality, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You feel more confident with your body.
Oh, yeah.
Walking mm-hmm. and knowing, you know, being...
Just the fact that we go on stage and dance in front of almost hundreds of people.
Oh, yeah.
And filling up the entire auditorium.
Yeah.
And we're like, I just did that. Holy smokes. But it's just great. It's a great feeling. And when you go off stage and you just see Miss Peterson in tears because she just put on this great production, it's just such a great relief saying, wow, we just made all these people happy. We made little girls and little boys believe that we were actual princesses.
Isn't that fun?
A great real characters, and it's awesome.
It's great. And the fact that people come up to you afterwards when they see you leaving, and they're just like, you're such a beautiful dancer. Yeah. I love watching you move.
When they ask for your autograph.
And your heart melts. It really does help with everything.
Yeah. So what about choreography? Do you get a chance to do some choreography? I see Allie is beaming over there. Have you done some choreography? Or
we every year, the Little Ballet Theater Company, we put on a show called Young Choreographers, which is always at the Astoria Performing Arts Center. It allows us to come up with our own dance, our own costumes, and we perform in front of a panel of judges.
And then they judge us, and then
we get to perform our dance. And it allows us to, one, get scholarship money, allows us to have the opportunity to be able to choreograph a dance and pick our own song. And it lets Miss Peterson and all our other dance teachers as well see what kind of dancer we are in our individual selves.
Do you, when you've choreographed, where do you get your ideas? Go ahead.
I've personally gotten them, like, from watching my teachers just, like, make something up. And they're just like, let's not use that. And I'm just like, I liked that. And I just, like, think about it. And then I try to, like, feel the music. And, you know, you just kind of, like, move with the music. And knowing, like, your technical abilities and just different steps and then, like, kind of changing them up. It's just great. It's so much
fun.
And
from being from dancing from so long, when you hear a song, you just know what to do. Your body just moves you half the time. And then you're like, oh, I should probably write that down so I can remember that. Because, your bodies just move with the song because you're just so trained to do it.
And you probably get ideas from other people. From each other as well. So when you choreograph only for yourself or for others as well?
Our first year in Young Choreographers,
we did a dance together.
Yeah, wow. It was a musical theater piece.
Mm-hmm. And you did a combination
with both of us. Mm-hmm. Our minds are very similar, so it was really fun.
We're very similar together.
Did you grow up going to school together too?
No,
I recently just transferred to Astoria High School from Warrenton High School. Wow. So that was really exciting knowing I had all my dance friends to back me up there. And
it's a community, it's a family, as you said. Beautiful.
Like with dance, and our families know each other because our little brothers.
So we've known each other forever. Yeah.
So we grew up together. It's just not at school or anything like that.
Right. Well, thank you so much. This is wonderful. I think you've given us a lot of in-depth information, not just about this incredible performance, but about the whole process of dance and how important and meaningful it is. And accessible, would you say?
It is very.
Just about anybody. You don't have to feel like, oh, I'm the most graceful person. Anybody can get started. Everybody, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, there's no big or small part in whether or not you aren't maybe the most technical dancer. You're going to get a good part because every part contributes to the great performance that
Wonderful.
We put on. Yes.
Okay. So, folks, this is The Nutcracker at Astoria High School. It's the 40th year, and it is a symphony orchestra 55 piece, I was just told. I didn't know that. Corey Peterson, who was my guest last week, is the conductor for this as well. And by the way, the Columbia River Symphony was terrific last week. I saw their production. And a choir, a singing group as well. And guests from Ballet Idaho, and a huge number of dancers from right here in Clatsop County. That is fabulous. And a big shout out to all of the families that we know help to make this happen, and also the community that pitches in their pennies and dollars to keep this going. It is happening on my birthday, 12/6, that would be December 6th, at 2 o'clock and 7:30 p.m., and on Sunday, December 7th at 2 p.m. So there are just three performances, Saturday and Sunday at 2, and Saturday night at 7:30. Now, is there a phone number or somewhere that people can get their tickets?
There is. Tickets are available at the door.
Okay.
And also at Maddox Dance Studio, and also downtown at Old Town Framing. And Maddox Dance Studio's phone number is 503-861-1971. Okay. So you could call and get some more information
if
about that.
If you need more information. Okay. And the seats are not assigned.
No.
Astoria High School doesn't have that. So you just get there
well,
early.
You can buy reserved seating.
Oh, you can?
Yes. And then they do have things like that there.
Okay.
But if you just come in, then you'll
get ushered.
Yeah.
Right.
And they'll usher you to a seat.
Okay.
That you buy.
So. General admission.
Okay, that's great. Okay, well, thank you so very, very much to Bailey Nearing and Allie Berger and Dan Foss in the background and for getting them here. So thank you so much. And I certainly won't tell you to break your legs. That's what we tell theater people. But we do not tell dancers that.
No.
Oh,
no.
Gosh.
That would be... Especially Bailey.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. Okay, that's another story for another time. Thank you so much for coming
in.
Thank
you. Thank you very much.
Okay.